Hey Daily Thunder fans, we just wanted to take a minute to let you know how you can support this show and other Daily Thunder content. The first thing you can do is subscribe to our Patreon page, where for $5 a month, you get access to our morning roundups of Thunder news, notes, and commentary. Another way to support our site is by visiting one of our partners, ShopGood. Daily Thunder has numerous custom-made designs listed on ShopGood's website. All original, hand-printed, and perfect for any Thunder fan looking to add a hat or shirt to their wardrobe. Most items come in a variety of color schemes, including our Thunderbird and Thunder Shield tees, which pay homage to Oklahoma's Native American culture and state flag. Your support is vital to our success, allowing us to do things like pay contributors and set up live events like in-person watch parties. It also helps keep DailyThunder.com free of paywalls and intrusive advertisements. Any and all contributions made are greatly appreciated by the entire Daily Thunder family. Welcome to the Daily Thunder podcast. This is post-draft edition. We have just finished up the draft. And when I say finished up, I think pick 41 is up next. Oklahoma City's night is done except for the 55th pick. We will probably get that live while we're on. And that is if they even take the pick. So we are going to get into reactions, thoughts, concerns, excitement levels, all of the above. I am here with Brandon Rebard, Daily Thunder beat writer and managing editor of Daily Thunder, Spencer Davis. Hello, boys.
Ryan, hey, what's up, fellas?
It's not the night that we wanted.
Well, that's a good place to start, I guess. I don't think anybody was shocked to see the top five go, the top five players go. I think we were a little surprised at Scotty Barnes at four. So let's start there. Brandon, what was your reaction when Barnes went four as it relates to the Thunder?
My reaction was, I know how this is going to play out. If the Thunder would have got one of those top five picks that they had like a 76% chance of getting, they would have got Jalen Suggs, because I knew that the Magic were going to take Suggs. And a part of me thought, you know, they were so well connected to Scotty Barnes, maybe they take Kuminga there just because the fit. But I figured it was going to be Suggs at five. I wasn't too shocked with the Raptors taking Scotty Barnes, just because there's been a lot of buzz about that. It seemed like, you know, the top four guys were a lock, but the Raptors were really into Barnes, so not too shocking. It made the pain of not getting Jalen Suggs, or not getting five so you could get Jalen Suggs, that much worse. That said, this is what I'm going to say. I think that OKC was probably locked on Giddey no matter what. If the Thunder had number five, maybe they still take Giddey at number five. When Presti has somebody that he likes, he's taking him. Everybody's mock drafts and big boards, you know, throw him out the window. If he sees a guy he likes, that's who he wants.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that they obviously tried to get up to into the top three and take Cade or Mobley, but I would not be shocked at all if Josh Giddey was higher than Jalen Suggs on Presti's big board.
Right. Yep. That was my feeling as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Josh Giddey's not a big name. He's not one of these big four or five, six names that I think Thunder fans have been tracking all year and we're hoping to get one of. But I think that the Thunder front office has earned a little bit of trust here in terms of, you know, they haven't missed on a lottery pick yet. You know, I mean, even I guess Cameron Payne was maybe it was a miss, although they even him they got something out of in that Bulls trade. So, I mean, and that was at 14 and this is at six. So I think that they deserve a little bit of trust here. We'll see how it goes with summer league, see how his rookie year goes. It's obviously not the perfect situation. It's not anything that people were hoping for necessarily to come out of tonight is the Thunder's top pick, but I don't think it's a total lost cause either.
So Adam Silver, who
had a great night, by the way. Adam Silver comes out to announce the Thunder's pick, and I'm telling – so, again, well, I should say I watched the draft not knowing anything, wasn't on Twitter, was not getting notifications from Woj. I could not recommend that route more. I watching the draft and then getting the pick like 45 seconds to a minute before it's announced, that is horrific. That needs to stop.
Can I disagree?
That needs to stop. He is tipping off his own network. Like, I do not understand why they let him do that.
Because they understand that not everybody wants to listen to Kendrick Perkins' draft analysis. Like, I did not even have the draft on my television tonight, and I didn't miss it. Like, I should have didn't watch the draft on television.
That's interesting. And I didn't miss it at all. if you're not going to watch it on TV, then I totally get that. But watching it on TV and hearing the commissioner announce them was actually really fun. So he comes out, and I know, so in my mind, I'm thinking it's either going to be James Bouknight or Jonathan Kuminga, both starting with J's.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking we're going to hear a J, but the next syllable is huge. It's going to give it away. It didn't give it away.
No. lots of J names in this draft, by the way.
Yeah, lots.
The Jalen's, yeah.
So I will say, when he said Josh, I panicked because I didn't initially think Giddy. I didn't know who it was. I was like, who's Josh? and then he says Josh Giddy, and I scream what at the TV as loud as I could. I
thought about you shortly after. I was like, Ryan is watching this, about to experience this live with no warning.
I was completely shocked. Did you guys have like a reaction to seeing that?
Yeah, I cursed. we were not on. I just got a 2-hour chat on Twitter Spaces with some of our followers of the Daily Thunder, and it was a lot of fun. Ryan, you were on there for a little bit too.
But
we didn't go on until after the pick had been made. And yeah, I was like, are you kidding?
The big question,
it was just totally out of left field.
The big question that we're all needing to hear the answer to is, Brandon, did you poop?
How did we not lead with this?
Did you poop?
This is the most important thing of the night.
I did. I mean, honestly, I did a little bit. I did. because it was a shocking pick. I will say I wasn't completely shocked, just from the standpoint of there had been a little bit of buzz. Lee Ellis from No Dunks podcast had said from a reliable source that he'd heard that Josh Giddey was going to pick at number 6. And so in the back of my head, I knew it could be the pick. But yeah, I mean, I got to say, with my personal connection now with Josh Giddey, we kind of go, you know, hand in hand. And so I feel like I'm a little bit responsible for this. I mean, if you're happy about the pick, I was responsible for it. If you're not happy with the pick, I had nothing to do with it. But, you know, maybe Sam Presti was really impressed with the composure that Josh Giddey showed when I asked him the question.
I think we need to get shirts made. I don't know what they're going to say. We need to get shirts made.
Yeah, like, did you poop shirts?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Daily Thunder, yeah. Did you poop shirts? Even if we only sell a few, or if it's just like a staff shirt, I think I want one. I don't know. I'm not a graphic design guy. Maybe we should probably outsource that. But that absolutely needs to happen in the next 2 weeks. I'm dead serious. We need to double down
on this. No pun intended, but Brandon, can you say every time you interview him that you, instead of having a chat with Josh Giddey, you had a chat with Josh Giddey?
That's pretty good. I like that. Thank you. I feel like in the first press conference he holds, I got to ask, like, everybody's going to be disappointed if I don't ask him that question. Like,
it's anything perfect else, nobody, for media day. It's perfect.
It really is. Like, nobody's going to want me to ask, like, oh, what do you think of Oklahoma City so far or any of that. No, everybody just wants to hear me ask him, did you poop again?
I'm sure he's, I mean, he was in on the joke. He tweeted about it as well. I think a couple times even, and quoted one of your tweets. He seems like the kind of guy that's going to have some fun with that.
Yeah, so, I think so. I think he had fun with it. You know, I even asked him, you know, on Twitter, I was like, so Josh, as I was saying, and he said, no comment, like with the eyes emoji. So he's down with it. And who knows, you know, even at that time, he might've had a pretty good inkling that he was coming to Oklahoma City. So, you know, he's making good connections with the Thunder media already. He kind of knew. No, look, I like Josh Giddey, the person, obviously. I feel like I should be getting lots of exclusive interviews with him now. But I do like Josh Giddey, the player, as well. You know, did he feel right at six? No, if you look at the mocks. But again, if that was the Presti's guy, because Giddey was connected to the Warriors at seven for the last couple of weeks, there was whispers that they might select him at seven. And then the Grizzlies supposedly traded up at 10 to hopefully take him at 10. And on top of that, they were still trying to get higher than 10. They were trying to trade up again. Why? Because they wanted Josh Giddey. So, I mean, I know it feels like a reach because everybody said it was going to be Kuminga or Book Knight. But if the Thunder would have waited to get him, he wasn't going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then, of course, the Grizzlies end up taking Zaire Williams, which is just a huge reach. I mean, even Sam Vecenie, who remains very high on Zaire Williams, had him at 15 on his board. I mean, to take him at 10 is sort of ridiculous. And that's an even worse trade with them now. I didn't like that trade to begin with, but, you know, now they've taken on a bunch of extra money for a guy that they could have gotten at 17. So, I don't know, guys. Yeah, I mean it's tough. Like, and Giddey really wanted to be here. Brad, you joked about like him thinking maybe he knew that he would be here, but he has said in interviews tonight that this is where he wanted to be. His sister goes to Oral Roberts. I think plays basketball for ORU, which is in Tulsa. I mean, you know, people know that. I think that's Ryan's alma mater.
Idea that she went there until tonight. Until I saw.
And why
it on
would
Twitter.
Anybody know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how do you? I assume she was scouted out of Australia, I guess. I don't know.
The far-reaching scouting department at ORU.
Yeah, but Oral Roberts, like, who? I mean, there's gonna be some stories there. Joe Masada with the Oklahoma, I bet, is going to get onto that. Because that's something that I'm very curious about.
So, big picture, just kind of stepping back for a minute, they took Josh Giddey at six.
Yeah.
Like after all of that, it was Giddey. And I wrote like on my computer, I had a running like notes tab of like each pick and then just like a thought by each one. But like I wrote completely shocked in all caps next to Giddy's name. I couldn't believe it. Is anybody disappointed that we didn't take Book Knight? Because I was in on Book Knight.
I'll be honest. After all the deep dive research I did on Book Knight, I was disappointed. You know, as excited as I am about Giddey, Giddey was number 9 on my big board at one point, and I know that I've got receipts somewhere because of the Daily Thunder articles. I had him as high. I think I had him at 6 at one point. Maybe I had him at 7 behind Moody or somebody at one point, but. I really like Giddey. He's my number 9 player. That said, I really kind of fell for James Book Knight. So, yeah, I feel no remorse whatsoever passing over on Jonathan Kuminga.
Same.
But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed by James Book Knight not becoming an Oklahoma City Thunder player, especially when he fell all the way to 11. And there were rumors that the Thunder were trying to get up to 11. And so I thought, this is perfect. Thunder can move up, get Book Knight. Then you got Book Knight and Giddey. All of a sudden, this is like a slam dunk draft to me.
Go ahead, Spencer.
I'm just wondering what happened there, right? Like, you know, the Thunder ended up trading out of 16, obviously, instead of trading up like everybody thought they would. And 12, after seeing the abomination of what the Spurs did by taking Josh Primo at 12, like, clearly that pick could have been had for 16 and 18 if the Thunder wanted to do that. I would be shocked if the Spurs would have turned that down after taking a player that most people had in like the 30s or maybe mid to late 20s at 12. Like Primo would have been there at 16.
Let's get into that. So the picks after Kuminga. So no, I don't think anybody was scoffing at Kuminga at 7. That was fine. Wagner at 8. And then, so I think we could all, I mean, we've seen Wagner mock to Orlando. That wasn't necessarily a shock. Then we lost the plot. So Davion Mitchell goes to the Kings at 9, which
he is pissed about, by the way.
I just have no clue. I have no clue how that makes sense.
He's so mad. He was like, he wouldn't say whether or not he had worked out with the Kings.
All they have is guards. Memphis, like we talked about, I think they're the big losers tonight just because it seemed like they were really targeting Giddey and then he wasn't there. They did take on a lot of money to move up 7 spots. I wrote wowzers next to that one.
It's really tough.
Book Knight at 11 is great value. Love the fit, like love everything about that. He's going to look so sick in those colors. And then Primo, like you just mentioned, went to the Spurs. That's where I wrote, we've lost the plot. And then Duarte to the Pacers. Very confusing. Then Golden State makes out like bandits again.
Oh, my God.
Moses Moody at 14. So they come away with Kuminga and Moody.
Home run.
15, the Wizards took Kispert. Okay, so here were my thoughts once Kispert went at 15. I was convinced that we were about to take both Johnsons. I thought there's no way we get out with not taking at least one. So I will start this next bit of this conversation with I'm glad that we didn't take either. But I have major issues with what Oklahoma City did. I think you can argue. I mean, I think you can say I would have rather had Book Knight or I would have rather had Kuminga, or whoever at 6. But I think Giddey is going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun watching him. I really, really believe that. I think he's going to be great. So yeah, you can have your differences in who you wanted at 6, but I don't think it was a total failure. I think what they did beyond that in this draft, I don't understand. And maybe there isn't anything to understand. Maybe there's something I'm missing. But how they handled 16 and 18 and then 34 and 36, they're just going to get crushed for it.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I think that anybody who's doubting the Josh Giddey pick, and ultimately, I'll say this. Usually the top 5, top 10 picks are the ones that are going to be stars, and that really, really matters. So if Giddey hits, that's the most important thing. You know, if they come away from this draft and Giddey becomes a star, it's a winner of a draft, right? Now, that said, I tend to agree with you, Ryan. I'm fine with the Trey Mann pick. I was surprised because I thought that there were some other guys there that I thought the Thunder would take, higher upside guys, bigger home run swing type guys. And Trey Mann's a good player. He's a good shooter. He's a good scorer. He's a solid, safe pick as a role player. But that just doesn't seem like what the Thunder are doing right now, especially after you trade away 16. It felt like they would take a more upside swing, like a Kai Jones or an Isaiah Jackson or, you know, name Cameron Thomas. It just seemed like one of those guys would be the pick. So Trey Mann's fine, but I'm with you on 16. I was kind of excited when I found out it was 2 future firsts. I was like, well, hey, that's great value. We can't sign all these guys anyways. There must be somebody that's dropping that we want. We didn't like the value where 16 was. But the protections on those picks are brutal. I mean, I just don't know how they'll convey or when they'll convey as first round. I mean, if they do convey as first rounders, okay, you got two first rounders for 16. But in a deep draft, number 16, it just seemed like there are some guys. I mean, Sengun, I thought for sure they were going to take Sengun at 16. I thought they were going to take Sengun at 16 and then maybe one of the Johnsons at 18 or one of the – who knows, one of the other guys that I said. But, yeah, I'm with you, Ryan. And then giving up 34 and 36 to get to 32 seems like bad value. The only way I can explain that is they must have had intel that for sure whoever's picking at number three was going to take Jeremiah Earl Robinson, and they really, really wanted him that much that it was that important to him.
Yeah, so I'll start with the Houston pick. And I said on the Spaces chat earlier I was all right with the value, and I am still. But it's sort of sinking in now, these protections that you're talking about. I'll read them off because I have them in front of me. Detroit, one of the picks is from Detroit, 2022, protected 1 through 16, and then 1 through 18 in 2023, 1 through 18 in 2024, 1 through 13 in 2025, 1 through 11 in 2026, and 1 through 9 in 2027. So I'm thinking that's probably a 2025 first round pick, is my guess.
That would be my guess as well.
Okay. And then let's look at this 2023 pick. It's projected 1 through 14 in 2023. This is from Washington, by the way. 1 through 12 in 2024, 1 through 10 in 2025, and 1 through 8 in 2026. Also strikes me as a 2025 first round pick.
Yeah, you know, it's starting to make sense now that I'm actually listening to the protections instead of just reading them and hearing you say them out loud. It does feel like those could maybe both be 2025, and they have some other 2025 picks. That could be interesting. You know, they can make some big moves in that draft, and that's right around when they should be a playoff team. Hopefully they'll be a playoff team before that again. You know, if those convey as first rounders, then I'm cool with the trade. I'll say that.
Just to reiterate here, so the other 2025 assets that the Thunder have is they have the 76ers first round pick that is top six protected. That is from the Al Horford Danny Green deal from last year, and then they have a swap, an unprotected swap with the Clippers in that year as well.
That could be a fun
and
year.
Also
Houston from Houston,
a swap,
right?
With the Rockets. Yeah, swap with the Rockets, top 10 protected. So,
maybe that was the intention.
Yeah.
Maybe that was intentional. I mean, I'm sure it was intentional.
I don't know if they can swap either of those Houston or Clippers picks with these other picks that they've acquired. I believe the answer is no. So they'll have the better of... It'll be just like it was this year with the Rockets and the Heat. They'll have the two of the three best of the Clippers and Rockets, with that Rockets pick being top 10 protected. Hopefully that Clippers pick is just super bad, because hopefully the Thunder are good by 2025 and the Rockets pick is top 10 protected anyway. So that's not going to be a number one guy. I'll tell you my big takeaway from tonight. And I think this gets it sort of into what Ryan is saying. The Thunder did not come away with a running mate for Shea tonight. I think that's pretty clear. Like, even as much as we want to compliment Josh Giddey, I don't think anybody expects him to be an all-NBA player at any point, or even an all-star, which tells me that, you know, the Thunder are going to have another couple of years here of being really bad, at least two, maybe three. And I'm sort of questioning if it's going to be possible for the Thunder to ever trade into the top five in one of these drafts. Like, I think that these picks are still valuable. I think they'll start using them on players eventually, but if the Thunder don't have lottery luck, this is more of a lost cause than I thought it was going to be. Cause it's pretty clear that it's going to be impossible to trade up.
Brandon, I mentioned this on Spaces earlier with Spencer, but when Suggs fell past, when Suggs fell to five, I don't know why what is the point of having all of this stuff? if you can't move up one spot, you know? And again, the argument like that Spencer made was, well, maybe they had Giddy in front of Suggs the whole time, which is fair. But if you like Suggs more than Giddy, I don't know, you know, it's tough for me to square having all of this stuff. If you can't, like, I think we're all disappointed that they weren't able to get up to three or four, or even one or whatever, but, couldn't get up to five. Couldn't get up one more spot. Like, it's kind of rough.
Yeah, no, I agree with Spencer here. Basically, I think that, you know, I mentioned it earlier. I really do think that what it comes down to is they probably had Giddy higher than Suggs, or at least maybe the same level. You know, the Magic may have wanted, you know, another first rounder or something like that, and the Thunder, like, they're basically even to me, so we'll just take Giddy. I mean, I think it's probably as simple as that. You know, it doesn't make sense to us because we all had, you know, Suggs was my number three guy after Tate and Mobley. So it seems like that should have been the move. But, you know, I will say this also. We all knew that those four guys, and apparently Scotty Barnes too, were so elite. The teams ahead of the Thunder were going to be asking for a king's ransom for those guys. And most, like last year's draft, for instance, I think it's easier to jump up into the top five than this year's, because this year's has had the reputation of being this elite class, especially those top guys. So it's more expensive this year. I hope at least that it won't be quite as hard to jump up into the top five in later years if the Thunder don't have, you know, draft luck.
So Houston won tonight. They were the big winner. They get Green.
I saw some hate for what Houston did, actually.
They got Jalen Green. They got Sengun. They got Garuba. And they got Josh Christopher all in the first round. Like, that's pretty hater-free, in my opinion.
I think it was somebody – I was reading somebody who doesn't like Sengun.
I'm one of those people. I felt like Oklahoma City was going to take Sengun at 16, and I was, like, not excited about it. But like I said before we started to you, Spencer, I probably could have talked myself, you know, I probably could have gotten excited about that at some point. But like the guys that they just punted on, like Trey Murphy went 17, Kai went 19, both Johnsons went 20 and 21, Isaiah Jackson went 22, Garuba at 23. Bones Highland 26, Jaden Springer, who we all love, 28, Cam Thomas 27. Like, they were just like, yeah, no thanks to all of those guys, all of them, for the two picks that we just read off, all of those protections. Like, that's hard for me to square. I like Trey, man. I had him 18th, so like that makes sense to me. But coming, like, if you'd have given me 1,000 chances to predict Oklahoma City's first round outcome, I would have never guessed Giddy and Trey Mann would be the only two things they would come out of the first round with. Like, I don't even know how that's possible. And, well, I do now. You just trade a pick. You just give it away. And they took a guy that most guys, a lot of smart people have in the top 10 in Sengun. Just gave him to Houston.
My biggest issue with this is that, like, you're shorting, like, Houston is the one team other than the Clippers that, like, you need them to be bad, and or at least bad. Not they can't they you don't want them to be the worst team in the league, or else you won't get the pick again. But you want them to be, like, not certainly not a playoff team. Like, you're hoping for a mid lottery pick in 2024 and 2025 from them, and you potentially just gave them their center of the future and didn't get back any other assets from that team. Like, they got two first round picks, but they're not Rockets picks. So I, like I said, the value wise in a vacuum, I have no issue with it, but it would be like if the Thunder, you know, traded like Kenrich Williams to the Clippers or something. It's like, okay, that's not going to make that much of an impact, but the Thunder have a very strong interest in the Clippers being bad. Mm-hmm. So like, why would you trade them a good player, even if the value is good? Maybe Kenrich Williams is a bad example, because he's not exactly the most impactful player in the league. But
the only thing I can say is, I mean, the Thunder must have not thought very highly of Şengün. If one, they're fine with passing him up, and then two, they're fine with Houston getting him. They just must not have been very high on him. I'll be honest. You know, me and Ryan weren't as high on him as most people. You know, when we did all our mocks and our big boards and things like that, I know that you were always higher on him, but I always worried about the defense at the center position and his length. He didn't make sense at the four because he's not a true 3-point shooter, and his size worried me at the center spot. So, and now they've kind of got a funky fit. But excuse me, I've been talking so much tonight. A funky fit with Christian Wood. So I don't know. And Garuba, I don't know. We'll see what happens. On paper, the Rockets killed it tonight. I'll agree with Ryan on that. And on paper, the Thunder punted what could have been a pretty exciting first round. But again, you know, I think that Giddey and Mann are two good players. And, you know, you kick the can down the road on two future picks. That may become something later. So, you know, it's always hard to judge a draft right away. It feels disappointing, but we'll see.
I would just have rather had like one of their like either 24 or 23.
I would have rather had 23 and like the Wizards or like one of those future picks.
Yeah, like just get one of their, if you don't like Şengün at 16, fine. They took Garuba at 23. He was 11th, I think, on Vecini's board. They got three.
I'm
guys.
Really surprised that Presti doesn't like Garuba. I mean, the Thunder could have had any center in this draft other than Evan Mobley. Any center in this draft other than Mobley, the Thunder had an opportunity to take. Honestly, they had the chance to take two of them.
And I thought that was the one surefire thing coming out of this draft, was they were going to get at least one big.
Yeah. Well, they kind of did.
I guess they did.
I mean, we should probably talk about Trey Mann, and I don't know how much longer we're going to go. It's 11:15 here. I figure I think the 48th pick just happened in real life. Yeah. Sharif Cooper just went to the Hawks. So we'll go at least until
really
the Thunder
late.
Pick.
That's really late for Sharif Cooper.
That's a really good pick for them. I saw he was getting mocked to them with their first round pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sharif Cooper and Jalen Johnson is a pretty nice haul for the Hawks. But so yeah, I guess we'll go for a few more minutes here. But Ryan, sell the Trey Mann thing, because I know this has been your guy. And by the way, I just looked, you had him at number 18 in your big board.
Yes.
So at exactly 18.
I just think at his size, he does so many great things that would fit on this team. I think he's better than Maladone like right now. He's a great shooter. He was in like the 90th percentile in pick and roll ball handlers, as far as like getting the ball to the roll man. I think there's a lot of switchability. I think his defense will get there. I think it's a very seamless fit as far as like where you can play him. You can play him in all sorts of different lineups. As the guy on the ball, as a guy off the ball, just a catch and shoot guy. I think you can run him off pin downs and all sorts of stuff. So I think he is a very, very talented offensive player that I think fits on this team and any team. So I don't have a hard time like seeing that. You know, I don't have a hard time squaring him on this team. I liked him. I mean, I think I had on my board Jaden Springer higher, but I'm not shocked to see Mann go higher, like even 10 spots higher than where Jaden Springer went tonight. I like Mann. And if you would have said that Oklahoma City came away with Giddey, Mann, and Garuba, I'm all in. Like, I'm so pumped about that draft. But they, my biggest issue is what they did with 16.
Yeah, it feels like 16 was a missed opportunity with all the talent that was still on the board. That's my biggest issue as well. Like, because like I said, I like Giddey. I like Mann. I feel like the 34, 36, bad value for 32, but I get it. If they knew that he was going to be gone at 33, cool. And he's a good player too. I have no issues with those. It's just, you know, giving up, you know, all those good players that I invested so much time researching for no reason. all of us did. Every Thunder fan, we can like, recite Garuba's rebound rate and you know, Jared Butler's 3-point percentage and all that stuff all out the window because we got two picks in either 2022, 2023, 2024, all the way through 2027. But I will say this on those picks, though. If either of those teams, the Pistons or the Wizards, want to make a trade and use first-round picks, if they want to make a splash, they have to take off protections for those picks because those are tied up for so many years. We basically control both of those teams' first-round picks if they want to trade any first-round picks for any sort of assets going forward. That's kind of a lower-key benefit of having those picks.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I don't think either of those teams – I mean, Detroit is probably the one to circle there, right? Like, that could make a big move in the next couple of years.
Well, and the Wizards –
more so than Washington.
Well, the Wizards swear up and down they want to keep Bradley Beal happy. And how are you going to keep Bradley Beal happy unless you trade for a star? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, they want to keep Beal very, very badly. And Beal says he wants to stay. Well, they can't just keep doing what they're doing. If they want to trade a first-round pick or a couple first-round picks for a guy, they're going to have to release the protections on those picks to the Thunder.
Yeah.
Can I go back to the man discussion really quick, Spencer? So to play devil's advocate, I think you can question the value of man at 18, given the guards that went early in the second round. Jared Butler went, I think, at 40. Miles McBride went at 36, where they would have been. For a guy like Trey Murphy, who I was all about, like when he was still being mocked in the early second round, he went at 17. I think that's all of these players that went behind them now will be haunting us every time they have a great night when Oklahoma City could have had any of them and they just chose not to.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely going to be tough. Like if Sengun becomes an all-star and it's just going to be a total nightmare. Miles McBride is not going to be an all-star, but he may end up being pretty good. I don't know. Just some other guys here. By the way, the Thunder are almost up again, and Brenz is still on the board. Mm. So that would be sort of a fun way to end the night. Charles Bassey and Luka Garza are off the board now, as is Filip Petrušev. So those are three bigs that I think the Thunder maybe would have looked at. Let me switch. I mean, okay, well, I'll put it up to you guys. Do you want to try to predict a starting lineup for next year, or do you want to talk about Jeremiah Robinson Earl?
A starting lineup sounds fun.
Yeah, I don't think we know much about Jeremiah Robinson.
when I was doing all my draft prep, I mean, I focused so much on first round, all the way up through 18. So I never, I know the basics about him, but I'd be lying if I said I knew a whole lot about him. I know that he was a guy that could have gone late first round, early second round. So I knew he was possible with 34 and 36. I know he's more of a defensive guy. And he's 6'8", 6'9", and, he's kind of more of the throwback Thunder pick. Not a great shooter, but he's a great defender.
I think he's going to play some small ball five. I think he's probably more of a power forward. And he was 15 and 10 or 15 and 9 at Villanova in the Big East, which is, pretty darn good. And he shot 3.3 three-pointers a game. It's kind of a mouthful there. But he only shot 28%, but he was 70% from the line. So maybe you could turn that around.
Yeah, that's really not bad, honestly. Not bad at all.
But he's not really a rim protector. Like even in college, only half block a game. one steal a game. Like, you know, and he's not super quick footed. He's not the center of the future for the Thunder, but I think that he could end up eating some forward minutes.
So are you predicting that he starts?
I'm not. No, I would think, okay. So Shea is going to start. I feel comfortable saying that. I think Josh Giddey is going to start. And I think Ludor and Poku are going to start. I think those four, I feel really good about saying they're going to be starters. The question is it like Isaiah Roby?
Baisley.
Or Baisley? Is Baisley your center? Or is Poku your center and you start Trey Mann? You go like a little bit of four guard lineup here and play Giddey as like a second side distributor that's like mostly playing small forward but can also, you know, hit open guys and make the extra pass.
I think my guess right now would be that the starting center isn't on the roster yet. Could be wrong about that, but that would be my guess right now. I don't know that they would start any of these guys at center right now.
Yeah, I would say either it's going to be whoever they select here in just a few seconds at number 55 or an undrafted guy, or maybe Mike Muscala sticks around and, you know, as kind of the veteran guy, and they want to see. I know it sounds funny, but here's the deal. He's probably kind of what they're looking for as far as the future center goes, as far as he can space the floor and he's a smart player. And so just as kind of like the prototype to see what they're trying to install, they'll probably want a floor spacer at five. So I could see them giving Mike Muscala a minimum deal and him sticking around. Just kind of have a vet with all the young guys and somebody that can space the floor and let Shea and Giddey and Dort and Poku kind of do their thing. I could also see Baisley being a small ball five. I could see that, and maybe him and Poku kind of, you know, alternate kind of, you know, because Poku's 7 foot. I still feel like Poku's natural position is the three, though, and I feel like that's where Giddy's going to end up, is the three. So who knows? If you want to talk about positionless basketball, the Thunder are truly going to have positionless basketball.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys agree with me that Giddey's going to start? I mean,
he's got to.
I mean, they just tanked Aaron
Wiggins. The Thunder just took Aaron Wiggins.
Who's that?
He played at Maryland. He was actually a pretty good player at Maryland. I think he's a wing. He's not a big. He's a wing. He's 6'6".
So no Vrenz. No Friends t-shirts.
No Vrenz for the Thunder.
Yeah, man. He might not get selected at all.
Maybe an undrafted.
Maybe a two-way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, could be.
I'm looking at Tankathon's mock. He was at 41 on Tankathon's mock. Let's see if I can pull up Sam Bassini's big board real quick here.
While you're doing that, I agree with you that Giddey's going to start. Like, I feel like he has to. I feel like whoever they were going to take at six is starting after the year they just had.
I mean, I think that you could work through a starting lineup where Mann is starting as like a, you know, in the backcourt with Shea. But and I think Mann will start some games because you're going to have some lineup rotation. But yeah, well, I think would you start Giddey at like the three, essentially? Or is he, who does he guard it?
Yeah, that's the question. The defense is the big question. Dort is the only defender right now, honestly. I mean, Poku, you know, showed potential with his shot blocking ability. Giddey's not really a defender. He's a good team defender. He's smart. His basketball IQ. They're picking a lot of smart guys. I'll say that. Between Shea and Giddey, Maladone, they really want playmaking, handling, smart, high basketball IQ guys. But I do wonder where the defense is going to come in.
Okay, Aaron Wiggins is 65 on Sam Bassini's big board. I'm pretty shocked that this is not like a Euro stash guy. But he's 6'6", with a 6'10 wingspan. I don't know. I don't hate it. Like, he's probably going to – he'll play for the Blue next year. I assume he'll take up a two-way spot. Brandon, you may know this. What's the two-way roster situation going into next year?
I mean, right now, you've got to wonder if Josh Hall is still going to be one of them because, I mean, you know, he's – he helped the Thunder win, unfortunately, that last Clippers game, which had, you know, may have cost the Thunder Jalen Suggs. But we'll try not to dwell on that too much, or an even higher pick. So you got to feel like Josh Hall will be one of those guys, right? And then maybe Jalen Horde is the other guy right now. I can't see them keeping Horde. Hall's got enough upside. I feel like one of the others, I feel like Horde's spot is going to go to somebody else, though, I feel like.
Yeah, I bet it's Wiggins. I mean, I would rather have Wiggins in that spot than Horde or like Charlie Brown.
Right, right. Yeah, no, absolutely. You want high upside guys, you know, in these spots, in the two-way spots, in the end of the roster spots. Man, this team is going to be fascinating next. They do not have a single true center. I mean, you know, that's not a concern because they're not concerned about winning, but you still need to, you know, slot somebody into those spots. And, you know, there was so many guys between Şengün and Garuba and Jackson and those guys who could have been slotted, De'Ron Sharp, that could have been slotted into that
even,
spot. So I'm just even fascinated.
Thor. Even JT was Thor. Like I was,
JT Thor.
I'm surprised they didn't, when he was still on the board, I was kind of surprised they didn't take him.
Yeah. I'm looking up Robinson Earl, and they say his high IQ, discipline, he was a five-star recruit. I mean, that is definitely, for second-rounders, Presley loves looking at former five-star recruits. I mean, he really does, and so he fits that mold as well. I like him as a pick, and Aaron Wiggins, can't really complain too much about their second-rounders. They weren't the sexiest names, but that's a couple of good players to get in the second round. But yeah.
He was honorable mention All Big Ten this past year. So for whatever that's worth, he averaged 14.5 points a game, almost 6 rebounds a game, 2.5 assists, 2 turnovers. He shot 35.6% from 3 on over 5 attempts per game, which is pretty consistent with the entirety of his career. He does not get to the free throw line a lot, but he shot 77% when he got there. He did play 3 years at Maryland, so he's at least 21. So he's a little older here. He's 22, actually, according to the seniors big board here. I don't know. I mean, shoot, guys, we've been talking ever since we started doing this, 2 months ago? I think every episode we talked about how we expected the Thunder to take a center in this draft.
Yeah.
If I had had 2 expectations for this draft going 2 months ago, it would be 1, that the Thunder would find a running mate for Shea, and that they would find somebody that they at least felt like they could invest a little bit of time in as the center of the future. Not to say that they couldn't turn around and draft the center they thought was better next year, but just somebody better than Moses Brown that they could start developing in that position. And they didn't do either one of those things. So it's too early to say that this is a total failure and that ultimately Josh Giddey, whether or not he's good or not, will determine how we end up feeling about this. But it's really hard to sit here and say anything too glowingly positive about how tonight went.
The saving grace is that there's a Wiggins in a Thunder uniform. And if we know anything about the history of Wiggins.
Come on. By the way, I'm pretty sure there's no relation there. I don't think there's any.
No.
In fact, I'm almost certain there's no relation.
All right. Anything else?
It looks like Austin Reeves is not going to get picked.
Yeah.
Also, the Presti didn't take. He chose to not pick another player from an American university until Trey Mann, Florida, the ties there from Donovan and Dagnall. I found that very full circle-y.
Yeah, it was Mike White. That's the name of the guy that's the coach at Florida now. I don't know if he was on Billy Donovan's staff or not. I don't know how he got there. So yeah, maybe there's an intel chain there. No Kemba Walker trade tonight either, which we thought might happen. I still don't. I would not rule out him being dealt at some point. And I think Chicago, I think a Lauri Markkanen sign and trade for Kemba Walker makes a lot of sense if Lauri is on board. I absolutely think the Bulls would do that because they're not going to bring him back and would help match some salary. And that would make sense, right? Like Laurie is a guy who would be the Thunder starting five. That is a flyer that I would love to see the Thunder take.
Still any chance of John Collins?
I know. I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't think so either. Given how this draft went, it doesn't make sense for them to make a compete now move like a John Collins. Had the draft gone differently, I could see that. Or had they made certain trades, I could see that. But I'll say this, the draft pick stock is even more full than it was. So, I think that we kind of thought we might deplete some of that war chest tonight, but actually we added to it. So, any disgruntled stars, a year or two down the road, here's the thing, Giddy and Poku are both high upside guys. Those are kind of the guys to me, besides Shea is going to be a star. Artie is a star. Dort's going to be like a premium role player, but Poku and Giddy, if they hit their ceiling, I mean, they could be a lot of fun and they could be pretty special if they hit their ceiling.
I agree with you on Poku. What is Giddy's ceiling? Like, he is not somebody to me that I see as somebody who could make an all-star team.
No, I think he could make it. If his shot comes around, he's only 18. The Thunder love choosing the youngest players in drafts. He's one of the youngest players in this draft. If his shot comes around and people think that it could and will, I mean, his playmaking ability, his creation, his scoring ability, his size, like, I don't know. He could be a lot of fun. I mean, his ceiling, if you want to get crazy, this is crazy. I know it's crazy, but the best comparison for his size, his playmaking ability, if he were able to add a shot, do you see where I'm going with this? I don't want to say it because I don't want to be the crazy one.
Are you trying to – I mean, I know you're not going to say like Kevin Durant or anything. Who are you trying to say?
Darn it, I don't want to say it. Luka, I mean, it would be the most natural comparison for his size, because they're also kind of jumbo size. Like, not only are they tall, but, they're kind of thick for their size and just play styles.
He's gotten some LaMelo comps as well, playing in the Australian League.
That's all I'm saying. And he's not going to be Luka. I'm not saying he's going to be Luka, but I'm just saying if you want to talk about ceilings, like if he reaches a ceiling, sure. I mean, he could be pretty special.
He's just not an elite athlete, and he's going to have to get a lot better at tightening up his handle. Like, his for somebody who's supposed to be this jumbo creator that can sort of, run an offense, he's not a great dribble penetrator. So he's going to have to get better at that. I will say on the Twitter Spaces chat earlier, we had a gentleman named Lorenzo, who was from, I believe, Adelaide or South Adelaide, Australia, that came in and had watched Giddy a lot and was a Thunder fan. And he shed a lot of insight on how Giddy got better throughout the year, especially as a shooter. Like, he compared his shot at the beginning of the season to Ben Simmons, just like in terms of his form, and that it clearly got a lot better over the course of the season, which I think is, like you said, a guy so young, you can project growth there. I think that's good. But I have trouble with his frame, not his frame, just his overall athleticism. I have trouble projecting an all-star upside.
I'm really pumped for Summer League. I will say, like,
I totally agree with that.
Knowing that he's going to play, knowing that Poku's going to be there, I would imagine Trey Mann will be there as well. That's going to be very exciting.
Maladon, I assume, will be there.
Summer League is going to be a lot of fun. Look, I've been high on Giddy. We can go back for a while. And I've been saying that he fits the mold of what the Thunder want. I've been saying that he just feels like a Thunder guy. He just didn't seem like he was going to fall where the Thunder would be picking, because he felt like he was going to be like the 10th, 12th pick. And so the Thunder couldn't get him at 6 or 16. But I am really high on Giddy. So I'm ultimately, I'm pretty excited about Giddey, regardless of how the rest of the draft went.
I hope you're right, and I think Giddey's going to be good. I don't want people thinking that I'm going to hate on Giddey, because first off, he's got a really interesting skill set, and I think that the Thunder's development team is going to get this right, and they're going to turn him into a good player. But I just question the all-star level upside versus where, like, I think that he's going to be like a really good starting caliber player in the NBA. Like, he gets this comp sort of like a Joe Ingles. I don't mean that he's going to play like Joe Ingles, but I see him more as like that level of player, just like a really good starter that is going to help you, which is a good player to take, but it's not, it didn't feel like that's, you know, obviously Thunder fans wanted something more for that than that coming out of this draft.
Yeah, I agree. I did see one, I think it was the NBL posted a video about Josh Giddey saying that Oklahoma City had gotten a really good player, and it was like a highlight clip of his. So there's a lot of clips out there of Giddey that if you're not that excited right now, there is some clips out there that they could easily persuade you, because he's dynamite.
I've got a friend that was so mad about this draft, and he's a big Thunder fan, but he didn't really pay attention throughout the year. And he was so mad when the Thunder took Josh Giddey. And then like 30 minutes later, he's like, all right, I just watched his highlight tape. I'm in on this pick. he can convince you. The good stuff is really, really good.
All right. We will wrap it there. We will have more thoughts on this in the coming days and weeks for sure. We're pumped for Summer League, and then we've got free agency starting in just a couple days. So thanks for following along this entire run up to the draft, and thank you to thanks to you guys, Brandon and Spencer, for your work and for joining me tonight.
Absolutely, man, it was fun.
Thanks for listening. This is the Daily Thunder Podcast.
Hey, Hoopheads, we appreciate you listening to this episode of Daily Thunder. Be sure to check out other NBA pods on the Hoopheads Podcast Network, including Cavalier Central, Nuck If You Buck, 305 Culture, Spanning the Spurs, Hashtag Lakers, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, At the Buzzer, and Lakers Fast Break. There are also coaching-focused podcasts, Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachesMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, and Courtside Culture. Oh, and don't forget the network's flagship, the Hoopheads podcast, hosted by Mike Klinzing and Jason Sunkel, and featuring the best minds in the game, from its grassroots to the NBA.